You're listening to Straight from the Heart, the Bible teaching radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Philadelphia. Our teacher here on Straight from the Heart is Senior Pastor Joe Foch. We're currently in the New Testament, going verse by verse through the book of Colossians. On today's broadcast, we'll continue our study beginning in chapter 1. Before we finish, I'll give you some additional information so you can contact us with any questions or comments. But first, open your Bible to Colossians chapter 1, and let's join Pastor Joe as he begins.
Paul says, I'm rejoicing that I have opportunity for the cause of Christ to put up with distress and difficulty for his body's sake, which is the church. Now he's going to great detail to talk about the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, and the love that Christ has for his people, because he's going to present them holy, unblameable, unreprovable. That the person who may bug you in the body of Christ is somebody that God's looking down into with joy, approving of. And Paul knew that only too well. You know, the old Moravian cry, let the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering. Let the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering. As those first young Moravian men were headed off to a leper colony, their parents and some other people standing on the shore crying to them as they left on the boat, saying, you know, if you go there and you minister as lepers, you'll be contaminated. You'll never be able to come back. And their cry back was, let the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his sufferings. In other words, look around. This is why he died. It says it here. For us. The payment was made in his flesh. For the people that are sitting around you. And Paul said, I rejoice that I get to fill up some of the sufferings of Christ for the body's sake, for the church, for the bride that I know. You know, I appreciate it when I travel somewhere, when the guys in the office call my wife and say, is everything okay? Because, you know, when you go away, the hot water heater blows up, the dog swallows a stick of dynamite. You know, something always strange happens. You know, lightning strikes the house. I mean, so I really appreciate it when I'm somewhere if the guys take care of my bride. And Paul says, I rejoice that I get to do this, to care for the bride of my beloved Savior. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, in the sense of to fully preach the word of God. Paul says, you know, I am made a servant according to the dispensation which God has given to me. Galatians, he says he was chosen before from birth. He understood that God had always had his hand on him. That had come to light in his life, and he realized that God had chosen him to preach the fullness of the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest unto the saints. So it's a mystery. He's using this terminology because of the Gnostics and all of the soup pot of spiritual nonsense that was around Colossia and much of it around us today, to say to them, no, there's a mystery, but it's not a mystery kept from you. It's a mystery that's revealed to those that are initiated, to those that are brought into the fraternity of God, to the family of God, to the home of God. The bride of Christ has been initiated into these things. So he's going to say, even the mystery which hath been, and he's going to tell us what it is, that hath been hidden from ages and from generations, and now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, here's the mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, you have to back all the way up and take the running start to this. The one who, by whom all things were created, the one by whom, the one who pre-existed before anything that existed was, the one who rules over things visible and invisible, principalities, because he's created all those things, and all those things were created by him, all of those things were created for him, the one by whom everything consists, visible and invisible, angels and demons and this world, material and spiritual realms, other dimensions. He causes all of that to hold together, to consist. He's the creator, he's the sustainer, he's the head of the church. And Paul says, in the mystery of the ages, is that he lives in you. I think it was humbling that he was born in a stable, that he came into a manger, to some dark, dirty surroundings. But that ain't nothing compared to the fact that he moved into this. And that his very spirit, again in us, we sit alone, lift our head, and say, Abba, Father, Dad, Abba. How important, how beautiful. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that is all the enabling that we need. I'll tell you, I still think, why me? I think back to my graduating class, when I graduated from high school in 1968, and believe it or not, I can still remember back that far. I don't know how long lived that will be, but right now I can think back that far. And I think there's at least one of my fellow graduates in my class that I've heard of that's saved. But I think, why me? You know, it's not fate. I was walking down the street one day and God dropped some salvation out of heaven and I just happened to walk under it hit me. If the guy in back of me would have walked faster, I would have hit him. No, it says that he's chosen us. Lord, of everybody you had to pick from, you chose me, chose you. You're sitting here this evening. Well, I'm not saved. We'll get saved tonight. What if I'm not chosen? Then you won't get saved tonight. Well, that's not fair. Well, then get saved tonight. And you will be chosen. I don't know how that works. You just need to, you know, I was a hippie taking drugs and got saved. You don't want to bet your eternity on me. Just trust me, though. The Bible says, you know, you can get saved tonight. You give your life to the one tonight. You know, the world's full with cruel masters, isn't it? Drugs are a cruel master, and they take your life. Alcohol's a cruel master, takes your life. Pornography and sex, cruel master, never satisfied, takes life. Gambling, power. The pursuit of life is finding the right master. And you find the one who stooped down an imaginable distance, who made an incredible journey, the Creator, down into the pool of humanity to be brutalized, to sustain the world while it crucified him and scourged him. Then to take the sin of the world upon himself, and then to have the Father's wrath fired down upon all of that sin on him to satisfy the Father's wrath towards all of our sin, so that he could present us holy, unblameable, irreprovable, looking down into us with joy. That's the kind of master you're looking for. A master who doesn't take life, a master that gives life. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the mystery of the ages. Remarkable. Whom we preach, Paul says, we proclaim, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. So there's preaching for the lost, teaching for the saved, that we may present every man complete in Christ Jesus. We do this that we may present every man in Christ, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So the cooperation of Paul, yes, it's his grace, it's his calling, and it's his dispensation that I should do this. And yet I'm agonizing, I'm striving to be in step with him according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. For I would that you know what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Paul had never been to Laodicea, evidently hadn't been at this point to Colossae. And he says, I'm laboring for you and longing for you that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all of the riches and the fullness of assurance, of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Now, you know, Paul is saying this. And you have to understand, here's a man who grew up religious, who was zealous. We know from historical writings that Gamaliel said he couldn't keep Saul of Tarsus in books. He couldn't provide enough reading material for him. That in the school of the Pharisees in Jerusalem, this young man had come from Tarsus and had excelled above his equals. He was zealous. He was filled with fire in fleshly energy for the law of Moses and for the Old Testament. And when this new sect began called Christianity, he persecuted the church. He hated it. And when Stephen was stoned, he stood there and he gave his consent. Evidently, he cast his vote. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. Had he seen Christ crucified? Had he been there when Christ was brought before the council, when Caiaphas was condemning him and challenging him? He cast his vote, and they're all gnashing their teeth because of what the things that Stephen said, but we know they went so deep into Saul's heart because many of the things he would preach after that come right out of Acts chapter 7 of the things that Stephen said. He was in so much agreement with it. In fact, when God appears to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, he says, "Why are you kicking against the conviction, Saul? Why are you fighting this losing battle?" And God saved him and forgave him and sent him to the nations to preach the love of God. And Saul, you know, Paul of Tarsus, Paul would say that, you know, he's taken me and he's held me up to be an example of those who should hereafter believe on the grace of God. That if he could save me, he could save anybody. Because I was angry at Christianity. I hated Jesus Christ. I killed Christians. I destroyed Christian families. I did everything I could to stop any missionary endeavor of sharing the Christ being shared with the world. And I caused men and women at the point of a sword to blaspheme the name of Jesus. And he says, and he saved me. And he cleansed me. And he gave me life. And he set me free. And he took the sword out of my hand and out of my heart. And he said, I wish you could know how I travail over you, how I labor over you, because now I know these other teachings are surrounding you. Listen to this other stuff. And he says, I wish you'd know what great conflict or labor or fear or care I have for you and for them at Laodicea, for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. You know, he wishes he could get there to talk to them face to face. That their hearts, this is what he's longing and laboring for, that their hearts, the inner man, might be comforted, encouraged is the idea, being knit together in love. So, okay, first of all, that our hearts should be encouraged, being knit together in love, something that should be happening in the body of Christ. Knit together in love. It's not knit together in agreement. It's not knit together because we all agree football is the greatest sport there is, or fishing, or field hockey. Knit together in love, because love is the thing that covers a multitude of sins. Love, you know, what a wonderful thing it is as he gathered us from the hedges and from the byways, and he gathered us in, and he puts the solitary in flocks, and he's given us a family. And we should then be encouraged as the body builds itself up in love. That's something that should take place. Now look, Paul looks at that because Paul's willing to make any sacrifice for the bride of Christ. And we should be willing to do the same. You know, the problem is the body of Christ. Jesus said, men will know that you're my disciples by the love you have one for another. That also creates an environment where wolves can come in, where other people can come in and take advantage of the body of Christ. Because here's a place where we want to come and be open and be vulnerable. And Paul's going to talk about that as he goes on in this chapter. He's going to give three warnings in verse 8, verse 16, and verse 18. In all three places, he's going to say, let no man do this to you. So he says the body should be a place where we're built up in love. And unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, knowing the truth, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, of the Father, and of Christ, in whom, now that in whom goes back to Christ, in whom are hid all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Paul again slashing at the Gnostics. He's saying everything there is of wisdom and knowledge is hid in Christ. Very important. It's not hid in Christ from us. It's hid in Christ for us. Not hid in Christ from us. That's not, you know, we think that sometimes, don't we? Okay, Lord, I want to know your will, and okay, now I have to do this, and I got to fast for 5 days, and I got to do this, and you're dropping, like you're playing Clue with God or something, you know, you're dropping a hint here, and you're dropping, you don't really want me to know, and you kind of want me to, no. These treasures are hid in Christ for us, not hid in Christ from us. God willing, longing to have us experience the fullness of his blessing, of his assurance, of his care, of his love. Just Paul saying to look anywhere else is futile. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you. Beguile means to reason alongside. Very important as we move on, because we're going to talk about legalism. He's going to talk about Gnosticism. He's going to talk about holy days and Sabbath days and all of these other things that he says, I'm worried that someone might beguile you. In another place, from the simplicity in Christ, here he says, I say this, lest any man beguile you. And that word means to reason alongside. So someone says to you, oh, yeah, sure. Jesus, yeah, of course. But, you know, it's Jesus and my book, which you can get for $14.95 on spiritual warfare. Jesus and penance. You got to crawl on your knees to a statue. Jesus and Mary. We have everything in Christ. I say this, lest any man beguile you with enticing words, that he reason alongside of the central thing, that he beguile you away from the comfort and assurance and riches and treasures and everything he's just gone through that we have in Christ. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding, now notice, your order. I hope you guys appreciate the order we have here. I am Pentecostal. Watch me drive sometime. See that? Yes, Lord. Get that one over there. But I believe the gifts are for today. I don't mean to stumble anybody. I pray in tongues. I believe the gifts are today. People say, oh, well, you're grieving the spirit there. How come you don't have, people prophesying using tongues? You know, with this many people in one building, it would be a sideshow. And if you're offended because you don't get to pray in church in tongues for a half an hour, then you must not be praying the other 6 days, 23 and a half hours during the week before the Lord in tongues. There's to be order here. We want to worship together. You know, if the band's up here leading worship and all of a sudden somebody decides they want to play In a God of Davida while everybody else is playing I Love You, Lord, we got a problem. Order. Let all things be done decently and in order. It's important. I mean, they gathered in Solomon's portico in the book of Acts and listened to the apostles' doctrine. That's what we want to do here, the teaching of the word. When we do communion, there's a time when we ask people to pray or to stand if they want healing or, that we want those times. And, it is a sensitive task to open a believer's meeting in a church this size and basically say, look, if you want to gather on Friday nights, this will be a time when we'll make opportunity for the prophecy and the gift of tongues. But then somebody's got to stand there with a few of the elders and govern all of that. I'm not opposed. I just don't have the time right now. I'm not opposed to that. But order. I think that's important. That's why, we try, the phones. That's order. Your phone shouldn't be ringing. Paul didn't even cover those things, but your cell phone shouldn't be ringing during the service. And look, I don't want to embarrass him. You know, if you have a, you know, you finally get your Uncle Sam in church, who you've been praying for 95 years, and he comes and his cell phone goes off. I understand. We don't want to humiliate anybody, but you know, you could please say to him in the parking lot, Uncle Sam, please, you know, I should turn your cell phone off. People walking around during the service. You know, if you have a bladder problem, sit in the back row. I mean, we're not going to, you don't have to fill out a resume, you know, do you have a bladder problem? And then we'll just tell you where to sit. No, we, no, just, if you sit in the front row and you have to keep getting up and leaving, coming back down the front row, that's not order, it's distracting. No children in the sanctuary. And believe me, we hear about that. Would Jesus do that? You know, we prayed, you know, just said earlier here that Christ is the head of the church and the pastors and elders have prayed about it. We feel like Jesus told us that the young children who would distract from the teaching of his word shouldn't be in the sanctuary. So you need to ask him, but we think that's what he told us. Because in the classrooms, we see children saved. In the classroom, we're able to communicate the truths of Christ to them on a level that they can understand. If you came here on Sunday and I had a flannel graph up here, if I had to gear down the lesson so that the five-year-olds could enjoy it, you wouldn't be here very long. Okay, let's all sing this, the B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. Get your Kool-Aid and your crackers and pass them out and, you know. Look, we're here to study the word. There has to be, Paul hears of the order that's, and I think it's important because look, Corinth was out of order. You know, God said he would give us the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 1 to be witnesses. Wait till you're endued with power. Well, in Corinthian, they had all the spirit, they had all the spiritual gifts going on in Corinth. And they were suing one another. And they were famous for fornication. And they're getting drunk at the communion table. And they're saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. And the church is filled with problems. They were lousy witnesses. They were all speaking in tongues and using things out of order. And Paul had to try to call them to order. He says, I'm glad to hear what's going on in Colossae and Laodicea. There's order. Beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Paul is rejoicing seeing that there's order. And he knew that there was teaching and there was steadfastness in their faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. As you received him, how did you come? You know, Paul in Galatians chapter 3 says, having begun in the spirit, are you going to be now made perfect in the flesh? How did you come? Jesus in Revelation 22:17 says, anybody who's thirsty, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. That doesn't mean without charge. It means undeservedly. Anybody who's thirsty, let him come and drink of Jesus Christ unworthily. Come with your thirst and drink of what you don't deserve. Come to Christ and receive what you could never pay for on your own, never earn, never be worthy of, never deserve. Come to Jesus Christ and receive his grace. And his love, and his power, his forgiveness, the reality of Christ in your life, that he might present you holy and unblameable, unreprovable, bringing joy to his heart, looking down into your life with pleasure. Paul is challenging these Colossians, don't listen to this Gnosticism, don't listen to this legalism, don't listen to this. As you have received Christ, so walk ye in him.
Hey guys, you're invited to join us here at Calvary Chapel Philadelphia on Friday evening, August 14th for a men's event you don't want to miss. Beginning at 5 p.m., we'll have tailgating, barbecue, classic cars and games, rain or shine, followed by a message from our special guest speaker, decorated United States Army soldier, Jeff Strucker, who is portrayed in the movie Black Hawk Down. For more information and to learn how to register, visit our website at ccphilly.org. That's ccphilly.org. We look forward to seeing you there. That concludes our teaching time here on Straight from the Heart. If you enjoyed today's message from Colossians chapter 1 and would like to hear it again in its entirety, you can listen to it on our website for free at www.ccphilly.org. Just go to our homepage and click on Teachings, then select Straight from the Heart and click on the study with today's date. Today's message number is WED367. That's WED367. You can also listen to today's teaching from Colossians chapter 1 or any other message from Genesis to Revelation by downloading our free app on your tablet or mobile device. Just go to your app store and search for CC Philly or go to our website and click the link for the mobile app. For more information on this broadcast or Calvary Chapel, Philadelphia, don't forget to visit our website at ccphilly.org. Thanks for listening, and remember to join us next time as we continue with more great Bible teaching that comes straight from the heart.